of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. We are very sorry indeed that so many are not able to be here this morning because they are not well in the body because of the seasonal flu. We pray that the Lord may be very gracious to them to touch and to heal them. And a very special welcome to all those who are here from overseas. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. May you find joy and peace being with us here this morning. And at the conclusion of this worship service, as we have said, we may all be able to say that it was indeed good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, my message this morning is where the Levites live. Where the Levites live. Now, I dare say that when we are looking for a property to live in, the primary consideration that we have is economics. Yes, our affordability to purchase that place for us to live in. And then we will consider other things like whether the property is very close to a good school for my children to go to, whether it is close to the amenities that are provided in the community, where are the shopping centers, are they very close to the place that I'm going to live in. Now, these are the things we would normally consider. And I dare say that often we don't ask this question, is this the place where the Lord wants us to live in? We seldom ask this question. But that is a very, very important question that all of us should be asking when we are purchasing a property to live in. Is this the place the Lord wants us to live in? Now, this morning, I'd like us to consider the Levites. Now, the Levites live in the places where the Lord wanted them to live in. I'd like us to refer to the passage that we read earlier on, Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Please refer to the passage, Joshua 21, verses 1 to 3. Joshua 21, 1 to 3. Now, let me read you verse 1. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites. Now, these were leaders of the Levites, unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, these Levites, the heads of the Levites, representing the Levites, came and approached Joshua the son of Nun, Eleazar the high priest, and the heads of the tribes of Israel. Because these people were the people who were responsible for allocating the land to the various tribes of Israel. And the Levites, represented by the leaders, came and saw these leaders who allocated the land. And they spake unto them at Shiloh, in the land of Canaan. Remember, Shiloh was the place where the tabernacle was raised up, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, this was the reminder to Joshua and Eleazar. The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, some 40 odd years earlier, to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. So this was a reminder given to these leaders. And then what was the response? Verse 3. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and the suburbs. Yes, so this was the response. The children of Israel gave part of the land for these cities to be built for the Levites. Now, you see, in the distribution of the land, the promised land among the 12 tribes of Israel, one tribe did not get there anything at all, no land. It was the tribe of Levi. Now, all the rest got the land, the 12 tribes, but as it were, the 13th tribe, the tribe of Levi, did not get any land at all. Now, why didn't they get did not get any land? The reason was this, because the Lord said to them, I am your inheritance, I am your portion. Now, how do we know this? You look at Joshua chapter 13, verse 33, but keep your finger at 21. Joshua 21, because I would be coming back again. Yes, Joshua 13, verse 33. Joshua 13, 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. Why? The Lord God of Israel was the inheritance, as he said unto them. So you see, the reason why the Levites did not get any land, or the people from the tribe of Levi did not get any land, because the Lord God was their inheritance. He would provide for them. So the 12 tribes gave to the Levites from the land 48 cities for the Levites to live in. 48. And then you remember last week, we spoke about the cities of refuge. Out of the 48 cities, 6 were designated to be cities of refuge for those people who kill other people but who were not guilty of murder, to run into for asylum. Now, who were the Levites? Now, the Levites were, of course, descendants of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, then during the time of Moses, yes, the one true living God instituted what is known as the Levitical priesthood. In other words, all the members of the tribes of Levi, the males I'm referring to, were to provide spiritual needs full-time to all the other members of the tribes of Israel. That was their function. That was their job. Now, and then the Levites were divided into two kinds. One kind served as priests, right? And they were descendants of Aaron. And only the descendants of Aaron could serve as priests. And they were the ones who offered sacrifices in the temple, earlier in the tabernacle. And they were the ones who burned the incense in the temple. Yes. In other words, they did things that were very, very spiritual. Now, what about the Levites? Now, the Levites, belonging to this tribe of Levi, provided what was known as the supplementary services in the tabernacle as well as in the temple later on. In other words, they would provide things like the porter service in the tabernacle. So during the time of the wilderness wandering over the 40 years, when the children of Israel moved from one place to another, which meant that the tabernacle would be dismantled and then assembled, and then the temple furnishings had to be carried around. Who were the ones who did that? It was the Levites. Then came the time of when the temple was built. They continued to provide the porter service, the gatekeepers, and they were also the musicians in the temple. All right, so this provided the supplementary spiritual services. Now, the Levites actually represented the firstborn males of the children of Israel. They represented them. Now, you remember on the night immediately before the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, God sent his 10th plague upon the Egyptians. Remember that? Now, the firstborn males of the Egyptians were all killed. They were destroyed by the angel of death because on the doorframe of their houses, they did not have the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorframe. Whereas all the firstborn males of the children of Israel were spared by the one true living God because they had the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, sprinkled on the doorframe. And God just passed over these houses and spared the children of the firstborn males of the children of Israel. And then God said, because I spared you, you are mine. You belong to me. And so we read this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 12. Exodus chapter 13, verse 12. And we'll see that the firstborn males belong to the Lord. Okay, Exodus 13, verse 12, I read for you. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. The matrix means the womb. All that openeth the womb. And every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's, including all the animals. All right, the firstborn males belong to the one true living God. And the firstborn males of the household of the children of Israel belong to the one true living God. God said, they are mine. But then later on, the Lord chose the males of the Levites to take the place of the firstborn males in the homes of the children of Israel. All right, so the males of the tribes of Levi to represent the firstborn males of the tribe of Israel. All right, so we read this in Numbers chapter 3. All right, good to look at all this, all right, so that you will know that I didn't pluck this information out of the air, but it is all written in the Word of God. Numbers chapter 3, verses 40 and 41. All right, I read for you this passage. Numbers 3, 40 and 41, and you will see in this passage here that God chose the male Levites to take over the places of the firstborn males of the children of Israel. Okay, 40 to 41. And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names, and thou shalt take the Levites for me. I'm the Lord. In the place of all the firstborn among the children of Israel. And the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. So you see, the Levites took the place of the firstborn males. In accordance to God's will, accordance to his plan. And then they were taken to serve the Lord full time in the place of the firstborn males of the children of Israel. So I hope you have a clear understanding of who the Levites were. Now, I like this morning, as we consider the Levites and where they live, three things. Number one, the Levites were set apart for the service of the one true living God. And my point number two, the Levites were scattered among the people. They live in the 48 cities. Remember, the 48 cities were scattered over all the land of Israel, four cities in every of the tribes. So they were scattered all over the land of Israel. They were scattered among the people. And number three, for a good purpose, as we shall see, actually to cater to the spiritual needs of the people. And then number three, my third point, the Levites fellowship with one another living in the cities of the Levites. That would be obvious, right? The Levites would be living together in the same community, and therefore they would be fellowshipping one with another. Now first, the Levites were set apart for the service of God. Now, the whole tribe served the Lord full time. They led the people in the worship of the one true living God. And this was God's way of ensuring that the spiritual needs of the people were well taken care of, and that they were well fed, and they were well taught in the ways of the Lord. And from among the Levites, as we said, another group of people was appointed, and they were the priests, and they were the ones who performed the temple offerings and the temple sacrifices. Now, my point is this, the Levites served the one true living God full time. All right, full time, not part time, but full time. Now, this pattern is set for us. It is necessary, my dear friends, that we have full time ministers in the church. One time, I remember a leader of a certain church implied that there was no need to have full time workers in the church. In fact, he asked the question, why is there a need for full time workers in the church? Why is there a need for full time pastors to serve in the church? He was saying that a layman would be able to provide the same kind of service effectively. Then one pastor very wisely asked him, right, would a lay preacher have the time, or would a lay preacher be able to spend enough time to pray not just for a few members of the church, but to pray for all the members of the church? Would he have that time? And then would a lay preacher be able to spend time to study the Word of God and to teach the Word of God? And would a full-time a lay preacher be able to spend time to do visitation, to conduct weddings, and to conduct funeral services? And would he have time to counsel people who are down and out? Are they ready to be called upon in the middle of the night to do counseling? And so forth. The elder had no answer, of course, to these questions asked by the pastor. So, my dear friends, we need full-time ministers. Now, let's see that the Lord provided for these full-time Levites. These Levites, the Lord provided for them because the Lord had said to them, I will provide for you. I will be your portion. I will be your inheritance. You see, the Levites had no means of providing for themselves. They didn't have any kind of inheritance to provide themselves also. So they had to rely totally on the Lord, and the Lord assured them that he would provide for them. And this is very clear. The Lord provided for them through whom? Through his people, of course. And so if you look at Numbers chapter 18, verses 20 to 21, this principle is clearly laid down by the Lord. The Lord would provide for his servants who serve him full-time through his people. Well, Numbers 18, 20 to 21, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for inheritance. So what were the people, how were the people going to support the children of Israel? To support the Levites. Yes, they were to support the Levites by the tithes and the offerings. So the Lord God says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they served the Lord full time. The rest of the people provided for them through the tithes and offerings. Now the point I'm making is that ministers today should be provided by God's people through their tithes and through their offerings, something which I said in the last message already. Yes, just like the Levites of old were supported by God's people. Now this is a very, very basic principle. If the ministers are worth their salt, then it is really incumbent upon the congregation members to provide for them. And Paul reiterated this in the New Testament. I read this last week. I'll read this again for you. You don't have to turn to this passage, but let me read this to you. Paul reiterated this principle. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 to 14. Now, Paul was writing to them because he was urging them to provide support for the Lord's servants. Now, he was not writing for himself, because Paul actually did not receive any kind of monetary support from the church in Corinth, because he didn't want the people to think that he was covetous, because there were people who were saying that Paul was covetous. But Paul says no. And in fact, he proved that he was not by not receiving any kind of support from the church in Corinth. And he wrote this to the church in Corinth. He said this to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. He says, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? In other words, does anybody go to war at his own expenses? The answer is, of course, no. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? The law says the same thing. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth up the corn. When the ox works, you don't muzzle his mouth. You allow the ox to work as it, allow the ox to eat as it works. Does God take care for oxen? And then in verse 13 he says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the tabernacle, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Obviously, he was referring to the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament. Yes, they were supported by the offerings, the things that people brought to the temple in those days. And verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So if they preach the gospel, they have to live of the gospel. That's God's principle. Now, we talk about God's providing for people. Now, what about the minister himself? Now, any minister who is worth his salt, only the minister who is worth his salt is worth supporting. And if he's covetous, my dear friends, of course he's not worth supporting. Now, it is true in the case of the Levites that it was only logical that they received their cities last. They didn't get their cities first when the land was distributed. It was only logical that the people should get the land first and then the Levites got their cities subsequently. But could not the Levites have done this? Immediately after the land was distributed, they would say, they will stake their claim. Hey, you give us this city. Give this land to us for our city. Or give that land to us for our city. Of course they could have made that claim. Whether they were going to get it or not, we do not know. But and if they didn't get their claim, would they not say, some I'm sure would say, you see, this is very, very unfair. They will complain and they will murmur. But the truth of the matter is, you look into the record, there was no such a complaint, there was no such a demand made by the Levites at all. So my point is this, the focus of ministers must not be on material things. The focus of ministers must not be on their remuneration. They are servants of the Lord and not hirelings. Hirelings will look at their remuneration, but not true servants of the Lord. Now, if their focus is material, then it is doubtful whether they are called or not. I remember many years ago when I was a treasurer in a certain church. The congregation was not a big congregation. The size was quite small at that time, and the offerings every Lord's Day were not large at all. There was this couple who was serving in our church at that time. This couple had gone abroad because the man had gone abroad to do his second degree study in theology. And so he came back with his second degree theology. One day, the wife came up to see me. I was the treasurer, so she came up to see me. And she said, you ought to pay my husband more. I said, why? She said, because he's got a second degree in theology. That's why you must pay him more. If he were in the States, you know, he would be paid differently. So she said that. And then I said to her, but you know, you look at our offerings every Sunday. The offerings are not a lot. Now, if we can afford to pay you, we'll surely do that. This lady went away pretty dissatisfied. Now, whether they were called to serve or not, I think you be the judge. Now, I thank God that in the case of our mother church, yes, the servants of the Lord are good and they are faithful in their service unto him. And some of them have been actually very sacrificial to enter into the service of the Lord. Sacrificial, of course, from the standpoint of the world, because they actually were paid very well in the secular world. They had good jobs, but they left their secular jobs to serve the Lord full time. But friends, these people have never made any kind of demands in regards to a better remuneration. They never did that. Yes, even though they know that the church can well afford to pay them, but they never make any kind of demands. Then it is also very gladdening to see that the session of the church understands the needs of the physical needs of the full-time workers. And over the years, I can say that they have well provided for them. So, my dear friends, I would say that Mother Church's example is indeed very good for us to emulate. Now, next, I'd like us to see that the Levites were scattered by the one true living God over the land among the people, and that's my second point. Now, the Lord scattered them to interact with the lay people in the land of Israel. Now, you would see that, of course, there were many priests and many Levites. It was not possible for all of them to serve in the tabernacle or serve in the temple of Jerusalem. All right, remember, the whole tribe were priests and Levites, so how could they serve in the temple and in the tabernacle and in the temple of Jerusalem at one time? There was no way that they could do that. And actually, only a select few were able to serve and were given the privilege to serve. And even though there was this the select few to serve, they would take turns to serve because there were so many of them. So they would take turns to serve, and after they served, they would, of course, go back to their own homes. then what about the Levites and the priests who have never had the opportunity to serve in the temple and to serve in the tabernacle? What were they to do? They had so much free time, as it were. No, my dear friends, they were to study God's word. And they were to teach other people the word of God. They were to ensure that God's people will walk in his way. And they were to make sure that the people didn't turn to idolatry, but continue to worship the one true living God. Now, when we think of the priests and the Levites, we will naturally think of them as a special class of people, don't we? Now, think about it. The moment you think of Levites and priests, it's, oh, this was a very special class of people. I'm not there, they are not I. Okay? Now, we will say that these are special people because they knew how to relate with the one true living God. They knew God's word, and they were people who were teaching other people the ways of the Lord. Special. But friends, did you know that you and I actually are priests? And not only are we priests, but we are kings. Yes, we are very much like the priests and the Levites of ancient times. Because, my dear friends, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all been called into the royal priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect high priest. Now we read this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. All right, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Okay, I read for you. The Apostle Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, my dear friends, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. As of the day you came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, know that you have got this wonderful privilege. You are a member of the royal priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, with him as the high priest." Yes. So remember this, my dear friends, we are indeed a very special people, a privileged people, members of the royal priesthood. Yes. Now, we are privileged, and I say we are privileged because it is when we are priests that we are able to relate with the one true living God. It is when we are priests that we are living in the marvelous light that Peter speaks about in verse 9. You have been called in out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are priests, and that is why we are able to dwell in the marvelous light of God. Now, if you are not a priest, of course, my dear friends, you do not belong to this royal priesthood. You are not able to relate with the one true living God. You are not dwelling in this marvelous light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, my dear friends, you are not in the kingdom of God. And the word of God says, you are in a very, very sad situation indeed. Because the word of God says that you are condemned already. Sometimes people think that it is because they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that they are condemned. No, the truth of the matter is that you are condemned already. You were born a sinner. As of the day you were born, my dear friends, if you do not repent from your sins, you are actually condemned already. Now, another privilege I'd like us to understand is that we do not belong to the Aaronic priesthood. Remember, we said that only the descendants of Aaron could be priests. Now, we do not belong to the Aaronic priesthood. Now, the Aaronic priesthood was an earthly priesthood. Yes, the Aaronic priesthood served in the earthly tabernacle, served in the earthly temple. But we belong to a different priesthood. We belong to the royal priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our priesthood, the priesthood that we belong to, is the heavenly priesthood. And it is a royal priesthood. So understand, my dear friends, how privileged we are to be members of the royal priesthood. We have royal blood in us, even the royal blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand this truth. And being members of this royal priesthood, we have the privilege of dwelling in His marvelous light. And one day, my dear friends, because we are not only priests, but we are kings, because we are actually members of the royal priesthood, we will be ruling with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He returns. That is the privilege that we have, my dear friends, being members of the royal priesthood. But along with the privilege we have, let us remember that we have our responsibilities. Now you see, the Levites were scattered all over the land of Israel. Yes, for what purpose? Now they were scattered all over the land of Israel to be a blessing to other people, particularly to their neighbors, because the Lord actually wanted them to be as neighborly as possible. That's why He had all of them scattered over the land of Israel, so that others could be their neighbors, right? And they were to teach and to lead people to walk in the ways of the one true living God. And then, one of the primary responsibilities that they had was to show forth the praises of the one true living God. Now, put it very simply, they were to show forth the attributes of God. They were to show forth to people that this God of theirs is indeed the one true living God. Yes, the God who is almighty, all-powerful, absolutely loving, caring, absolutely holy, and that is His one who is absolutely faithful. He's full of tender mercies. So when the Levites went about ministering, they had to know that this was their responsibility, to show forth the praises of the one true living God. If they failed in their duty, then of course they would not be glorifying the name of the one true living God, something which God wanted them to do. Now today, let us recognize that ministers of the gospel are not the only one who should be serving as priests unto the Lord. You and I, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, have been called into the royal priesthood. You and I are supposed to be serving as priests. Register that, friends. Can you put that in our mind now? We are to serve as priests, because that's exactly what we are. We have been called into this royal priesthood. Now, we must, like the Levites, see ourselves as being scattered by the one true living God to be His witnesses, as I said, to show forth his praises as witnesses, which include our being good neighbors to other people by the way we live, by the way we act. We, all of us here, are to show forth the praises of the one true living God. And I've already explained what is meant by showing the praises of the one true living God. What it means is that when people interact with us, they must conclude that this God of ours that we believe in is indeed the one true living God, all-powerful, all-knowing, absolutely holy, absolutely faithful, and that He is full of tender mercies, full of kindness. We have to show people this truth about the one true living God, so that when they relate with us, they will want to believe in this God that we believe in. You understand this truth? My dear friends, that is our responsibility. Now, we in our church make use of the most faithful translation of the Word of God, the English translation of the Word of God, the King James Bible. It is vital and it is very, very essential that we keep using this Bible and not change the use of the Bible and not use another Bible for our use. But let us be sure that, my dear friends, that we not only have the best book translation of the Word of God, but let us make sure that we have the best personal translation of the Word of God. Now, what do I mean by personal translation of the Word of God? Four ministers met. The first minister was making use of the King James Version, and he said, "I've got the most beautiful version of the Bible. It's written in a very beautiful English. The language is simple for people to understand, and it is the most faithful translation. I love it very much. The second minister said, "Oh, I love the version of my Bible very, very much because I believe that it is closest to the original languages." And then the third minister said, "Oh, I got a modern version of the Bible. It is very good for use. I like it very much because the language is very simple, language very modern. Everybody understands this language. It's a very good Bible." So he says, "Now what about the fourth minister?" He kept quiet. And then finally he said, "My mother's translation is the best. Mother translated the words of the Bible into her daily living, and it was the most convincing translation of the Word of God." My dear friends, we must be good, effective translation of the Word of God by our lives. Now, I'm 100% advocate of the King James Version, so don't get me wrong. To me, it is as the divine original. But then, we must remember that we are priests of the royal priesthood, and we must serve as the best translation, personally, of the word of the one true living God. So, my question for all of us is, are we living translation of the word of God? All of us must be. We must be living translation of the word of God. Are we good neighbors? The Lord wants us to be. To be good neighbors, we must determine in our mind, first of all, to be good neighbors to others. We must begin with that and not ask who my neighbors are. Now, who my neighbors should be, all right? We should begin with this thought. I want to be good neighbors to other people rather than ask who my neighbors should be. Now, in the office, we have a colleagues sitting next to us, and then in the homes that we live in, we have neighbors living next to us. Yes, my dear friends, are we willing to accept them as neighbors? Not only accept them as neighbors, but really ask ourselves this question: how can I be a good neighbor to my neighbors? That is the question that we must ask. Now, you remember the story told by the Lord Jesus Christ about this good Samaritan. Yes, and he was actually telling the story in response to a question posed by a lawyer. Now, a lawyer in those days was not one who attended court, but a lawyer who was an expert in the laws of God. Yes, so this man who was supposed to be an expert in the laws of God one day came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked this question: "Lord, or Rabbi, how may I attain, or how may I inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And then this man asked, "But who is my neighbor?" he asked. And then the Lord Jesus Christ told the story of the Good Samaritan. Yes, there was this Jew who went to the city of Jerusalem, presumably to worship God. And after he had worshipped God, he went down from the city of Jerusalem and he had to pass through the city of Jericho, where he was waylaid, robbed by robbers, beaten, and left to die on the ground. Then along came a priest. And now you know who the priest was, right? Okay, you know who a priest is or who a priest was. A priest came, supposed to be one who was very exemplary, one who was serving God, one who was supposed to be teaching other people the ways of God, one who was qualified to offer sacrifices in the temple. So he came along. What did he do? He just bypassed the man who lied on the ground, the injured Jew. Then along came a Levite. Now you understand who a Levite is or who a Levite was. And what did he do? He did better than the priest, slightly. He paused, he looked, and then he bypassed this injured Jew. Then along came the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews in those days had no dealings one with another. In fact, they were enemies. A Jew would hate a Samaritan would hate a Jew. But this Samaritan dismounted from his donkey, came down, and then dressed the wounds of this injured Jew and put him on the back of his donkey, brought him to a motel to recuperate, and then he paid his motel bills. Even told the motel keeper that if there was any more extra expenses incurred by this injured Jew, he would be willing to pay for the expenses. So the question the Lord posed to this lawyer was this: who then was the neighbor of this injured Jew? The answer was obvious. Of course, the Samaritan. But friends, of course, we look at this, read this story, we could be very, very harsh in judging the Levite and the priest. But friends, let us not be too hard in judging them. Remember, we ourselves are what? Priests, that's right. Don't forget that. We are priests. Are we really better than the priest and the Levite in the story told by the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we the kind of neighbors that the Lord wants us to be? Let us stop asking who our neighbors are, who our neighbors should be, but rather ask ourselves, how can I be a good neighbor to my neighbors? Now, understand this truth, my dear friends. The wounds of many of our neighbors are far, far worse than the wounds that this injured Jew suffered from. Their wounds are spiritual wounds. Their wounds are fatal wounds because they are wounds of sin. And if these wounds are not healed, you know where they are heading for. My dear friends, of course, eternal hell and eternal punishment. And the only way that they can have for their wounds to be healed would be through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hands. What are we doing with the gospel in respect to our relating with our neighbors? Then there are others who have suffered emotional and mental wounds. They need help. They need the healing power of the gospel to heal them. We who are priests, as we said already, have the gospel in our hands. We have the means of enabling them to be healed from the sicknesses that they suffer from. How can we be so selfish to keep this gospel to ourselves, just as the Levites and the priests didn't care to lift up a single finger to help this injured Jew who was lying half dead on the ground? As the priests and the Levites in ancient times were scattered all over the land, let us realize that the Lord has a purpose for all of us. We are supposed to be scattered also, to be good neighbors to those whom we relate with. Now, let me touch on my final point. My final point is that the Levites living in those Levitical cities will be providing mutual encouragement to one another. They will be fellowshipping with one another. They had the privilege of doing so. God gave them this privilege. You stay together, you will have the privilege of encouraging one another. Now, as they served the Lord, I'm sure there were many, many times when many of these Levites were discouraged. Yes, remember, they were only human. They could have suffered from some kind of illnesses, and then they needed their fellow Levites to pray for them and to pray with them. And where could they have encouragement if they didn't have these fellow Levites living among them to help them, to pray with them, and to encourage them? Or they could have wayward children. As I said, they were human. They could have wayward children, and they needed help. They needed counseling from other fellow Levites for themselves, and maybe even for their children. So they needed the help of their fellow Levites. Then in their Levitical duties, they could come across problems that were very difficult to resolve. There could be non-Levites coming to them for counseling, and they presented to them problems that were completely insoluble by them because they didn't have the wisdom to do so. So they needed to seek the help of their fellow Levites. My dear friends, if they didn't live in that same community, where would they be able to get the help? So it was really a great, great privilege given to them for them to be living together, to have the mutual help that they were getting, and it was really a privilege for them to have that kind of fellowship one with another. Now, my dear friends, we who are priests are also need this privilege, and the Lord has given us this privilege. He has given us the privilege of fellowshipping one with another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has. Yes. And like the Levites in times of old, I'm sure there are many times in our life when we need encouragement. We need people to pray for us. We need people to pray with us. And who can pray with us and who can pray for us and who can pray with us? Of course, our fellow priests, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this fellowship. We need mutual help. We need mutual encouragement. And the Lord knows how much we are in need of this fellowship. And that is why he gives us this instruction in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Verse 24. All right, the Lord gives us this instruction. He knows our needs, and so he gives us this instruction. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. My dear friends, we need this fellowship to encourage one another in the most holy faith. If we fall out of this fellowship, very soon, my dear friends, we will fall out of the faith. And that is the truth. Remember, we have an enemy, our arch enemy, Satan, our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. My dear friends, he cannot devour our salvation because our salvation is secure in the Lord. But what he can devour is our witness, and that is what he intends to do. If we fall out of our fellowship, my dear friends, we will fall out of the faith, and eventually, my dear friends, he will destroy our witness. And there might come a time when we start questioning our salvation. We might not be sure of our salvation, because, my dear friends, we have not been keeping close to the Lord. We have not been having the encouragement of our fellow believers. So, my dear friends, we really need the fellowship of one another, particularly our Sunday fellowship. When we come together to worship the one true living God, of course we come here to worship him. That's number one. But we also come here to fellowship with the one true living God, because the Lord wants a fellowship with us. And we come here also to fellowship one with another, to encourage one another. You see, the Lord has given us this privilege. But friends, if you choose not to come on one Sunday, you know the next Sunday is easier for you not to come. It's like that. And then it's even easier for you not to come on the third Sunday and fourth Sunday, and eventually you don't come at all, and you don't feel a thing at all. And as I said, you don't feel a thing at all to the extent that you don't even know whether you're safe or not safe. Then, my dear friends, I dare say that all of us here need the fellowship of the church prayer meeting. You may not realize how much you are in need of it, but really you are very, very much in need of it. We are, all of us are in need of this church meeting fellowship. Now, if you really want to grow in the faith, and you really want to be encouraged in the faith, I would encourage you to come and join us together to pray every Friday night at the church prayer meeting. You see, one of the functions of priests is to pray for other people. Did you realize that? We have to intercede for other people, to pray for other people. And at the church prayer meeting, that is exactly what we do. We pray for other people. Now, and in the process of doing so, we grow in the faith. We grow in the Lord. We grow in strength. My dear friends, how needful it is that we come to the church prayer meeting to pray, so that we may be able to enjoy the privilege of the fellowship of the saints in the Lord. So let me sum up what I said this morning. The Levites were set apart for the service of the one true living God. Today, ministers are set apart to serve the one true living God full time, just as the Levites were set apart in ancient times to serve the Lord full time. They are the ones who have been called by God to dedicate their service, their life, to serve him without the undue cares of the world. Now, how could they serve with undue cares except that they are well taken care of by God's people? As it was the case in ancient times that Levites were supported by God's people, in our situations, let's remember, ministers of the gospel need to be supported by God's people. Then the Levites were scattered among the Israelites. They lived in 48 cities, remember that? Six of which were cities of refuge. They were scattered all over the land of Israel for the purpose of ministering to the Israelites. They were to lead them in the worship of the Lord. They were to teach them the ways of the Lord, teach them the word of God, and they were to set good examples for the rest to follow. And they were enjoying actually the marvelous light of being in the marvelous light of the one true living God. Now, my dear friends, and they also had the duty of showing forth the praises of the one true living God, and that was actually their primary duty, to show forth the praises of the one true living God. We who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are members of the royal priesthood. Like the Levites of old, we are also to show forth the praises of the one true living God. That is our responsibility. We are to shine for the Lord, and we are to be good neighbors to others. And how can we be good neighbors to others? The Lord scattered the Levites to be good neighbors to others. He has also scattered us to be good neighbors to others. And how can we be good neighbors to others? Share the gospel with people, with the gospel in our hands. If we want to be good neighbors, and we must want to be good neighbors, share the gospel with others. And finally, the Levites lived together in their Levitical cities so that they could have the privilege of mutual encouragement, so that they could have the benefit of the fellowship one with another in the Lord. My dear friends, we who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been called into the royal priesthood of the one true living God. My dear friends, the Lord has given us this privilege of having fellowship with one another. Never, ever neglect the fellowship of the saints. If we neglect the fellowship of the saints, particularly the fellowship that we have every Lord's Day, my dear friends, you will end up in serious trouble because you are going to fall out of the faith. And the time may come when you can't even tell whether you are a believer or not. So I encourage you, my dear friends, never, ever to skip any Sunday worship service. Yes, don't at the slightest excuse say, I'm not going to church today. No, this is a privilege given to you to come here to fellowship with the one true living God and to fellowship with one another. If you miss it, you find it easier to miss the next one, find it even easier to miss the next one, and eventually you'll fall out of the faith. And I want to urge you, finally, to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. Come and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Come and encourage one another and learn to be the priest that the Lord wants you to be, and that is to pray for other people. Yes, like the Levites and the priests of old were supposed to be doing that for God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this wonderful privilege to be kings and priests. You have called us into this royal priesthood. Lord, help us to understand that just as you scattered the Levites of old, you are scattering us for a very good purpose, and that is to show forth your praises. May all of us, O Lord God, realize the role that we have, and that is to show forth the praises of you so that people relating with us may know that this God of ours is true and that they would want to come to believe in you. And help us, O Lord God, to realize that you have given us this wonderful privilege of fellowshipping with one another, to encourage one another in the most holy faith, particularly through the Sunday worship service. We pray that none of us, O Lord God, at the slightest excuse will want to miss the worship service, but will come and be blessed by you and to be enjoying this privilege that you have given to us. Father, we pray that your people may realize what a good and wonderful God you are, and that you care for us, and you have given us wonderful graces, wonderful privileges for us to enjoy. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.